This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Jab Cross Hook, a fan-sided fight show with your hosts, Ian McMillan, Amy Kaplan, and Reed Wallach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Jab Cross Hook. It is just a two-person show, myself and Reed. No Amy Kaplan today. So just myself and Reed going to talk a little UFC action, recap this past weekend's card, talk about everything in the combat world, and then do our bet draft for UFC Vegas 55. Holly Holm against Ketlin Vieira in the main event. Hello, Reed. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Got off the shot. I told you I was feeling a win in the next few weeks. The betting was getting going, and I got the win last week. I'm feeling good. We're both in New York. The weather is stupendous the past few days, so everything's good. Everything's good.
Everything's looking up. Well, I mean, I finally am step by step getting over the Leafs loss, but this is a UFC show, so we don't need to talk about that anymore. I've talked about that ad nauseum. Let's recap last week's picks. Reed, as you mentioned, you were the winner. You were the only one to finish with a profitable week. You went 2-1 plus 1.31 units. Which ones did you win? Which ones did you lose here? I'm just looking back at your picks. You lost Louis Smolka.
Yeah, he got knocked out in the third round. Actually, competitive. I thought that was 1-1 on rounds. I thought Smolka took the second round. So I thought he had a chance, and his leg just completely gave out. So that was a loser. But Verna Jandiroba, she was I think she might have been, like, the biggest favorite taken. She was minus 195, but I thought she was a lock, and she was. And then Ryan Spann, first-round submission win over Kudalaba. Definitely said that wrong. But Ryan Spann, first-round submission. Yeah, so that was he was plus 180, plus 190, so that was a big one for Reed there. So that was a big one, and yeah, so we got positive payout, and we won.
Yep, big win for you. I was on Smoke as well, obviously on the draft, but I agree with you. I had him winning the second round. I thought that he was going to actually win the fight after the second round. But then,
yeah, he just died. Yeah, there's just no other
way around it. Bring up that recap graphic one more time if we can, just so I can go through the other picks. Amy went 1-2 for minus 0.3 units. Camacho lost. Hebus lost.
Sketchy decision there. I agree.
Jan Blachowicz did win in the main event. We will talk about that fight in a moment. I was on that as well with my own bets, not with the draft. Manuel Torres, my only win as a favorite, and then my two underdogs lost. But I thought Patrick... was that a decision?
I missed part of the prelim, so I missed that fight. So
here's really quick, and we're talking about the fights, my memory of the entire fight card is very sketchy because this was right after the Leafs lost, in the playoffs. So
you had a busy weekend. So
I was watching the fights. It's just I had a bottle of champagne in me and about 12 seltzers. So my memory's a little bit shaky. I did watch the fights though. But I think Patrick lost a bad decision or something like that. Anyways, myself and Amy went 1-2. Reed, congratulations on the win, 2-1. Before we move on, we got to do what we do at the start of every show. Reed, what are you drinking tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I think I'm becoming a little superstitious here, and also because it's very convenient. But I've been going with what's in my fridge that myself and my two roommates have from like the weekend that was. So we're going with a good old fashioned just Bud Light. Keep it simple. I think last week was the High Noon where I was basically giving an ad for them. Don't have any more High Noons, so we're going with the Bud Light that was in my fridge. And, you know, hopefully I can make this 2 weeks in a row.
I still can't get over that you and your roommates just take whatever is in the fridge. Like, my roommates took my alcohol in my fridge. I'd be pissed.
It's a open door policy in Reed's apartment. Right. We're all in it together. You know, beer, that's like a community thing. You know, so maybe one day I'm drinking, maybe one day someone else is drinking. Hopefully we're all drinking together. So we have plenty of beer in the fridge, so anyone could go and take.
I will say light beer, like Bud Light's very cheap in the United States. So it's not
exactly. So like that, it's not make or break, you know, we're not ripping like IPAs and stuff.
Right. Even back home, like a Bud Light, like a 12 pack would be like $25. So that's really? A little bit of it. A beer is very expensive back home. Yes, even like crappy beer. Well, here, like nice beers.
That's why you move, though. Yes, that's why.
Just a cheaper beer. I'm just drinking. I obviously know Victory Wine, so I'm back on my vodka sodas, trying to cut out beer again, trying to lose a couple of LBs. Went to the doctor today. Whew, I'm going to lose some weight. So I'm on the vodka sodas again tonight. No more beers. And like I said, no victory wine either. All right, let's talk about the main event there. We briefly mentioned it. Jan Blachowicz, Alexander Rakic. Blachowicz won via TKO in the third round, but it looked like one of those like uncaused TKOs. Like it was Did we find out what it was? Rakic hurt, was like an ACL injury or something happened to his leg. Blachowicz ended up winning by TKO because of that.
The official one, our official injury, I think, was a torn ACL and PCL or LCL, some sort
That's
of.
That's what it looked like. His knee exploded, basically.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, and that I thought it was a close fight, and I bet Blachowicz also. So you know, all three of us were on him. I thought he was kind of live to win. Obviously, you know, when someone's knees explode, that kind of ends the fight. But you know, it's a win. Kind of sucks, right? Like Rakic. Apparently, that's his third torn ACL he's gone through. So this guy's used to it. But that sucks. Obviously, was in the mix for a title shot. You know, that set you back like a year. But I guess we'll see if Blachowicz gets the winner of Teixeira Prochazka. I saw it literally just before we got on. I don't know. I don't even know where it came from. It just like came across like my timeline. Teixeira says he's like wants to retire in the next year, which makes sense. And that also opens the door.
59 years old.
But it also opens the door though, if he is to win again, like how many times is he going to fight again? So, you know, that adds to the mix. I know Blachowicz is getting up there in age. I think he's like 37, 38. So he's getting up there in age also, but that's an interesting wrinkle into the next, you know, phase of the lightweight division. And also Teixeira's defending his title in a few weeks at 274.
Yeah, and just on the fight, I saw some people say that Blachowicz was like getting his ass kicked. Like, once again, my memory's a little sketchy from that night, but I'm pretty sure he clearly won the first round, did he not? I thought he won the first round. Rakic won the second. So it was, 19-19 heading in the third. I don't know. The people I was seeing, I don't know what they were watching. They were more drunk than I was, apparently.
I think UFC, like, especially like round by round judging, you get like such polar, especially when like there's not like a clear, like decision, like round decision, like, oh, that guy had top control for 4 minutes, clear round to him. Like when it's like up in the air, you will see anyone spin around like in their favor. Like, well, they had the more significant threat, you know, like they had more damage. Like anyone could spin around when it's not like clear and conclusive. So I think it's funny that like, so like you could have anyone like, yeah, Rockets, like they clear winner until his knee exploded. Like, I thought it was a competitive fight, probably 19-19. I think Amy tweeted out the cards also, and it was 19-19 all the way across the board. So definitely a fight that was still up for grabs heading into the third round. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll take our
So moment. Does Blachowicz get the winner of Teixeira and the guy with Prochazka? The crazy last name? Prochazka? Prochazka? So. Does he get the winner, or is it Magomed Ankalaev? Or maybe Magomed Ankalaev fights Blachowicz for the number one contender spot?
I lean towards Blachowicz getting the title shot.
The rematch?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happens with Glover. It, like, if he loses, does he just retire now, or do they give him another title shot? So I lean towards – I feel like they're not going to do – depending on how the fight goes, I guess, but I don't think they're going to do a second one of this Teixeira – Prochazka fight, and then Blachowicz gets the winner of that fight. I think Ankalaev, he beat, if I remember correctly, he beat Thiago Santos in like a really boring main event a few months ago. So, and he was like a massive favorite. Yes. So I don't think he deserves a title shot. I think he has to win maybe one more, maybe like, I don't know. Like I'm looking at the rankings now, like does Anthony Smith really move the needle? Like if he beats Anthony Smith, does that give him like a title shot? Like, I don't know. I think Blachowicz, he was the champ and he got like, I'm usually of the belief that like, if you lose, you kind of get the right to a rematch, right? Like, is that maybe, I guess it's like all situational, but like Blachowicz, I feel like comes back, he beats Rakic, maybe like injury doesn't help. Like Blachowicz had like a nice, you know, run to the belt and stuff like that. He lost as a big favorite, didn't get another rematch, comes out and performs give him another shot, especially when there's not another clear, like Ty definitely goes to Vlahovic in my opinion, right?
Like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I why not just do just as so you can get a number one clear contender? I'd like, in my opinion, why don't you just do Ankalaev against Vlahovic?
And just, like October.
Yeah, I just the old UFC, like there used to be like clear cut number one contender fights, and like guys would fight, and like Dana would say, okay, the winner of this gets a title shot. They don't do that very much anymore, and I miss that.
Do you think that that fight last weekend was that? I mean, Rakic was number three.
I guess maybe. That
definitely was not how it was hyped. But
listen, yeah, if Glover loses, then I think, yes, Jan definitely gets a next title shot. But if Glover wins, it's like I don't know if I want to watch that fight again. Like, they just fought. Like, it's,
yeah, I agree.
And it wasn't like it was necessarily close.
Yeah, Glover absolutely ruined him. So,
yeah,
I agree. And, I mean, they're fighting in, what is it, 2 weeks? I'm way off. Yeah, three weeks. Main event at UFC 275. I said 274 earlier. 275. So I guess we'll find out kind of how that all pans out.
But, see what happens in that fight, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, and Prochaska's favored in that fight. I saw like the early odds. He's favored over Glover. So
yeah, I think he should be.
Yeah, I mean, Prochaska, I mean, he had one of the knockouts of the year last time out against Dominic Reyes. Just absolutely dropped him, like Tony Ferguson style. So, yeah, I think a lot to be kind of settled the next few weeks with this division.
Some other things to talk about from this past card. Obviously, you talk about Ryan Spann, a big upset first round submission. But the guy who was supposed to be on our show last week with, I believe, is a first
round. What the hell, man?
Andre Petrovsky. It would have been nice if he would have came on the show and told us to bet on him. Plus 305 underdog gets a submission win in the first round. Maybe, like, it's a good thing he didn't come on. Maybe coming on would have ruined his mojo or something. But
first, it was like first minute too. Like it was like so fast and easy. And yeah, I mean, we're like a show trying to, you know, get out there. Could have helped if we had Andre Petrovsky come on, like tout himself out. It's like, yeah, win, bet me by submission, I'll win. Wrap him over the first minute. Yeah. That's like social blow up right there. Are you kidding me?
None of us took him in the draft either. No. Maybe we were just upset of him for not coming on the show. But
we took it personal.
Yes. But he did reach out afterwards, just for any viewers who want to know. Not his fault. His trainer kept him late for practice, preparing, obviously, fight week. When it's fight week,
submission.
I'll give fighters some leeway on fight week. But he did reach out and apologize. So we're not actually upset at Andre Petrovsky. Congratulations to him for
now. Big, he owes big, this one, though. Next win. Fight week. Next fight week, he better come on our show.
That's right. Anything else that you want to cover for that? I think that was pretty much everything notable that happened. We talked about Luis Smolka. We thought that was 19-19 heading into the final round. I think that's everything notable. Hold on. Really quick. I mentioned the Alan Patrick fight. Now remember, I'm just looking at the card here. He was up, I think, 2-0 on Michael Johnson, then Michael Johnson knocked him out. Oh, no, Michael Johnson knocked out in the second round. Alan Patrick won the first round and then got knocked out in the second round, which usually the opposite happens to Michael Johnson. Usually Michael Johnson is winning and then loses by finish.
Yeah.
So Michael Johnson pulled an anti-Michael Johnson by, you know, making
him go his win. Manuel Torres, the guy you bet on or took, he won by knockout against Frank Camacho also. And then the Ryan Spann submission, pretty big upset. And, I mean, people were hyping up Kudalaba is like maybe a guy who can make a run in the light heavyweight division. They were like, I know Amy was saying how like nuts he was going at media day while Ryan Spann was kind of being standoffish and whatnot. But Ryan Spann getting a big win in like impressive highlight fashion. So maybe that's someone to keep an eye on. Maybe depending, you know, I always like to look back at these cards when they come back around the fight cycle, and like Ryan Spann might be now like a fade candidate depending on who he gets based off like a big win, and maybe I wouldn't say fluky, but kind of a random victory, like kind of happened out of nowhere, like snapped a submission, that was it. So maybe like a guy to fade if he gets like overvalued in his next fight. I always like to kind of like the buy low, sell high types. That's kind of like my betting strategy when I look back when these guys come back around in the fight cycle.
Yep, I agree.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it from a lot of finishes, but overall, you know, fairly entertaining card. Obviously, Rakic with the injury, that kind of sucked. But
it was a decent card. I had no complaints. Liked that my bet hit in the main event, but kind of tough to see a finish like that. But that's the sport. Other news inside the UFC world, potential Robert Whittaker against Marvin Vettori fight set for Paris? I thought MMA was illegal in France. Have they overturned that?
I don't know. That's what they're saying. I mean, these two were rumored to fight because obviously Whittaker off the loss, but he got injured in training. So it seems like it's being discussed for Paris. I think September 3rd is what like other reporters kind of said after these two got into, they like were tweeting them out. I know we have like the tweets queued up that like Marvin Vettori. Yeah.
Do we have the tweets? I haven't seen these yet. Marvin Vettori says, all right, so I guess can't find any opponent earlier. I'm fighting Whittaker in Paris. You better show the are we allowed to swear on this program? I don't know. We better show the F up this time. Let's do it. I've been waiting for too long now.
Yeah, and then Whittaker
says Paris.
In Paris. Yeah.
There's already a card scheduled for Paris. So yeah, I guess mixed martial arts has become legalized at some point. UFC's first card in Paris. Oh yeah, it's not gonna be pay-per-view. It's being headlined by Cyril Gane, which makes sense.
Okay. But yeah, that's obviously the local product.
Fight will happen September 3rd.
Yeah, so.
And Cyril Gane will take Tai Tuivasa.
Oh, Gone's going to ruin Tuivasa. Gone's going to be a huge favorite, probably.
Oh, you would think so. Yeah, for sure. That's the kind of fighter who, like, Cyril Gane can beat. Like a heavy-footed power puncher because he can just dance all over him.
Exactly, yeah. And Tuivasa's going to gas out in, like, the first round, and Gane will just, like, grind, just like win a decision. But anyway, for this fight, you know, obviously two middleweight kind of guys stuck in the middle. I mean, obviously Izzy has a stranglehold over the division, but I probably lean Whittaker. Obviously he had an injury in training, but it didn't sound like it was so serious or anything. I had plenty of time to prepare. I kind of lean Whittaker. I know he'd probably be a little undersized, but that's kind of my initial gut feel. Hopefully we get like a reasonable price on a Bobby Knuckles. I know you're a Whittaker guy.
Yeah, I love Whittaker. I just looked up the whole France thing because I was correct. It was illegal. It became France officially recognized MMA as a sport back in January of 2020, so not that long ago, a little over 2 years ago.
Yeah, there's like a global pandemic in the way, but yeah, it's finally getting off the ground.
You know, do you have a favorite France fighter? French fighter?
The only one I know is Cyril Gane, right?
The OG French fighter. He's, I think, a little bit before your time. Czech Congo.
Oh, so before my time. Like, I don't even like Cyril Gane either. So, like, I guess anyone else besides Cyril Gane, like, that's a low bar to clear as French for my French fighters. But,
Ngannou started his training, I think, in France. Like, he has connections to France. Obviously, he's not from there, but Ngannou's technically kind of France. But
yeah,
go.
He, like, identifies as, what isn't it?
Cameroon?
Yeah, Cameroon.
I think it's Cameroon. Yes, yeah. I believe so. But go watch when you have a minute, Pat Barry against Czech Congo, probably the craziest one round heavyweight fight of all time. Write it down. Pat Barry against Czech Congo.
All right.
Legendary fight.
It has to be on YouTube then, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. I think it's long enough ago now. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Czech Congo, I think he fights for Bellator still, so he's still in the mix, but he's been around forever. He's like the original mixed martial artist from France. So that'll be an interesting number one contender fight. Do you have any more to comment on that, or do you want to move on to Amy sent us a little snippet here we haven't watched. Her little contribution. Do you want to switch over to that?
Yeah, no, let's turn the page to this week's fight card.
Yes, because this is related to this week's fight card. As I mentioned, Amy couldn't make it on the show today, but she did want to contribute here a little bit. She was at Media Day for this week's card, and I believe this is a clip from Media Day, her talking to Eric Anders. So if we have that queued up, if we can go ahead and run that.
Asking all the fighters about betting odds. I'm wondering if you pay attention to that at
Hell
all.
Yeah. I think Vegas got this one wrong, man. They got me a plus 180. So, you know, I've been telling the wife and the team and everybody, hey, is this the ticket you want to cash?
Have you ever bet on yourself?
I have, yeah.
Do you plan on doing that this
time? Yeah.
Can you divulge how much you're going to put down? Ballpark figure?
Man, I'll probably put $1,000 on it, plus 180, and then, you know, that'll be my drinking tab on Saturday night.
I love that.
Yeah, that...
Shout out to Amy for asking that question too. Like I love that her in this show. We need to start talking betting more. We got to get betting more involved in MMA. So I love how not only did he say he looked at his odds and he's going to bet, but he knew what his odds were, plus 180.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, first of all, you know his background. He played for Alabama in college. He, I believe, was a linebacker, defensive end. Obviously didn't pan out. Now, you know, turns to UFC. So, I mean, it seems like he's well ingrained in like the sports world and obviously what comes with that. And obviously as a UFC fighter, you could bet, but I mean, epic answer. And I guess we'll get into it. I guess we'll get into the bet draft and we'll see if either of us like him, but
he's taking on Park Jun Young, on this weekend's card on the main card. Is he that big of an underdog? WynnBET has him at plus 175, so just below that number of plus 180 he listed. So,
yeah,
is he convincing? Did he convince you?
I don't want to divulge, but you know, obviously coming off a loss at UFC 269, was an underdog there. Just going through his Tapology. Won the time before that, last two times out, he was a favorite against Aaron Stewart. And then, you know, he's kind of been trading wins and losses the last few years. So, you know, maybe he's getting a little disrespected against Park, but we'll see if either of us think he could pull out the win.
We got to get him on the show sometime.
We're his prime audience.
Yeah, we got to get him on the draft. UFC fighters still undefeated in Jab Cross Hook bets drafts. So we'll see if he can keep that up. We haven't had a fighter on for the draft in a while, though. We've had a lot of interviews, but none of done the draft, so we got to get another fighter in here for the draft. We got one more thing to talk about that is combat related, not UFC related at all, but it is worth mentioning. You brought up football, so it ties into this a little bit. Frank Gore is, I guess, a boxer now, and he knocked the shit out of someone. I don't think we can show the video. I don't think we have video, but if you're watching this, look it up after the show. Shout out Frank Gore.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Gore is one of, like, the most underrated athletes of our generation.
Truly.
One of, like, the top five rushing leaders. Guy played until, like, well into his 30s. His son is, like, now he was, like, the running back at Southern Mississippi. There's my college football knowledge for you. But, his, like, kid's almost going, like, pro or would be going pro if he, you know, got drafted or was talented enough. I don't know his draft prospects. But, I mean – now he's like, yeah, I got to cash the checks. Let me go, you know, knock some guys out.
Yeah, and he played a position that is notorious for, like, not having a very long shelf life, especially in the modern age, and then he plays it for, like, 20 years. And didn't he have double ACL surgery back, like, in his college days? Like, I think he's had surgery on both his ACLs, too.
Possibly. He also fought Darren Williams in a – didn't he fight Darren Williams on one of Jake Paul's cards?
I think he lost that, did he?
Yeah, because Darren Williams was like so much. Darren Williams was like 6'4", 6'5", so like he just overwhelmed him with size.
I just searched his name. The first result is ex-Jet Frank Gore. It's like, I think that's the last team I think of when I think of Frank Gore.
Ex-49er.
Yeah, he's a 49er, yeah. From 2005 to 2014. Yeah, he's a 49er. He played one. His last year was with the Jets. I just want to look. He had two ACL tears in college. That's crazy.
But yeah, shout out Frank Gore.
He looked good too
on the show.
He looked good. he was throwing. Shout out Frank Gore.
Was this a celebrity or was it like a? It was like a real like semi professional. You don't know.
I watched a highlight. Is all I watched. it was actually his first professional fight. So he did lose to Deron Williams. But the fight against Deron Williams was an amateur fight. This was a professional boxing. This is his professional debut. He won via fourth round knockout against, oh boy, you want to talk about a name that's hard to pronounce. Oles Yeinid Olo Ransula. Unbelievable. That's tough. But I mean, he's a professional, so I assume he's not. He doesn't have a Wikipedia.
What's his record?
So he doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so I can't click on him.
Well,
I'm gonna guess 0-1.
Yeah, I was about to say 0-1 in his last one.
Yeah, and correct. I just looked him up on this Box Rec. If boxing's official record keeper, he's 0-1. So it was both. But hey, professional debut, just like Frank Gore. So they're, you know, even level. All right.
Yeah.
You want to do the draft?
Yeah. Let's keep it moving.
All right. Let's dive into this week's draft. Three rounds because it's a fight night. We can pick main card, prelim, whatever you want to do. Reed, you are the defending champion. So that does mean that you get to choose the order. It's only two of us, 50% chance to win the draft, but you get to decide who goes first and then who has the double picks after that.
Yeah. I'll go first. Before we start, like, how are you feeling about this card?
Terrible.
Yeah, I don't see a ton here. Obviously, you know, it's not as well known, but, like, you know, I don't see, like, a bet I'm, like, dying to make. A few bets here. So I'll go first because, like, one does kind of stick out to me above the rest. Usually I like to go towards the back, kind of see how the board shakes out. But I'm going to go on the main card. I didn't tell the producers. Quick turnaround had me unprepared. But I'm going to go Pollyanna Viana. She's on the main card. She's facing Tabitha Ritchie. And so huge size difference here with Viana. We're talking several inches of reach and size. Ritchie's gotten a much better record. And the quality of opponents just aren't there. Yeah, you see right here, Viana, +4 in height. +6 in reach. They're both grapple heavy. I'm just not impressed with Ritchie. I feel like the 6-1 record, one of the fights, she was like -1400. So she kind of just beat who she's supposed to beat. She moved up in weight and lost. I'm not super impressed. Whereas Viana has more UFC fights under her belt. I think she's being a little undervalued at +1. I think she should be the slight favorite, especially with the size. I don't think either are all that good, like long-term or something, but I'll give the edge to the bigger fighter and who I think honestly is the better fighter's fought better competition.
So that's okay. Not on your like, board? No, it wasn't. I looked at it and that's surprising because usually you just pick guys who are on the opposite of me. So I looked at it. I didn't really see an edge. So I don't have an argument against you. I don't really have anything to say to agree with you. So
yeah, I just think
like, that kind of say,
you know,
okay,
Richie's fought in like half the fights. So, like, why is she the favorite? You know, she has 7 fights on her belt. At least Viana has a little bit more, you know, more UFC experience for sure.
I agree with that. Hey, experience is big.
Yeah.
I think people undervalue experience in the UFC.
100%. So now the two pick, this is a hilarious draft. It's just two of us, but back, it's over to you.
Well, you know who, I mean, I can't believe you didn't take him.
Who we got? Who?
Eric Anders. How do you not take him after that clip that Amy sent us?
Oh, well, considering I think he's going to lose.
Oh,
I have no interest in taking
him. I hope he comes on the show next week. I hope Amy talks to him.
This happened to me last time with Gabe Green.
Yeah, I know. Hey, he convinced me. He said he's telling his family, his cousins, bet on him. Now's the time to do it. Listen, man, if he knows his odds, if he's willing to put $1,000 of his own money on himself, he seemed very confident to me. I kind of liked him anyways when I was looking at him. To be honest, I wasn't – he was like an option where if you took one or two of my picks, I would have gone with him. But after that video, I'm hooked. I love a guy who knows about the odds and is going to bet on himself. And, I mean, $1,000 is not a small amount of money. And he told – if he told his family and his friends and his cousins and everyone to bet on him, this is a confident man. We've heard this in the past from fighters who've been on our show and told us to bet on them, and then they go on and win. So,
yeah, he's like a guy I've bet against a bunch in the UFC.
I hope he comes on. I hope Amy shows up next week and says that she has Eric Anders on the show.
I'm not going to lie, Eric Anders, if Amy shows this clip, I'm very sorry. It has nothing to do with you, but like typically I like to fade like the football players, the other sport athletes coming in. But again, this was a pass for me because like I'm not going to take Park at like a minus 230 price. I don't think he's like that big of a favorite. I think Anders is probably a little undervalued now. I think the price has drifted out, but like I have no interest in betting him. This is like a Parker pass for me.
All right, fair enough. So there we go. Let's recap the first round really quick. Reed, go ahead and just say our picks while I prepare my next one.
Pollyanna Viana, plus 105 underdog. And Ian went a little bit further down the board. He went with Eric Anders at plus 175, and Reed disagrees with that pick.
Okay, a couple underdogs for the first round, and I have another underdog for you. Not as big of an underdog here for my next guy. This is more a fade of the favorite because I really don't like the favorite. I'm going to go Santiago Ponzinibbio.
I think you got that time. I think you were right.
On how to pronounce his name?
Yeah, I think you got that one.
He's been around long enough now that I've heard his name, so I know how to pronounce it. It's more than newer guys that I don't know how to pronounce because they've only fought a couple times, but he's been around forever. Santiago Ponzinibbio. Against Michel Pereira. Not a fan of Michel Pereira. I know that he's won four straight fights and he's kind of fixed the issue that caused a couple of his losses. One of the only Capoeira, and I know I mispronounced that, style of fighters. I know he doesn't really use that style anymore, but I just can't get over some of those earlier losses in his UFC career. He jumps around. He tries flashy things. He doesn't really stick to fundamentals. And I think when you fight a guy who is as experienced in the octagon is Santiago Ponzinibbio, you have to be dialed in. And he doesn't have great defense either. And this is a guy who has 15 knockouts on his record that he's fighting against. So I think the record is kind of causing the odds for what they are. Ponzinibbio is admittedly 1-2 in his last three fights. Michel Pereira has won four straight, but I think this is a significant step up in competition for him. I'm a big Ponzinibbio fan. This is a guy that before he went 1-2 in his last three fights, he was on like a 9-fight win streak. So this guy's very good, very experienced. He knows how to beat these flashy kind of fighters. He does what he needs to do, and we're getting him a plus money. So my second pick, Santiago Ponzinibbio.
I kind of like Pereira. Well, no, I didn't
draft him.
Maybe we'll see how round three goes. We'll see how the board breaks. Right. But I think it is like, it's not a big price difference, but like this is like kind of a pick'em fight, right? Like Pereira could Ponzinibbio, he got knocked out in one of those losses. I think like Pereira could find an early finish and then like it gets like a little sloppy at the end. So like,
I think if we were doing prop bets, like this fight to be finished inside the distance.
Yeah, exactly. And like Pereira, like round one, Ponzinibbio, like round three, like that seems kind of like how the fight's going to go. Cause Pereira, I remember one of our drafts, I took Andre Filalho against Pereira at like a huge plus 450 price. I was like, I kind of like Filalho. Guy punches like a brick, and you know, if Pereira gasses out, I think he has a chance to win. Yeah, he didn't win, but you know, I thought, you know, at a huge underdog price, I kind of liked it. So I lean Pereira, but I see the logic behind Ponzinibbio. So over to me.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Vince Morales, plus 185, so bigger underdog in my first pick. I just don't like Jonathan Martinez. Maybe you do because you're smiling, but Martinez, this guy is chinny as hell. You know, I know he's off two wins in a row, but he's been clipped before. I'm not super impressed. Morales has a knockout win himself last time out against our guy Luis Smolka, who – you know, maybe he's not so durable, but like, I don't know. I like Morales, more, you know, similar size. I just like, I don't see why Martinez is such a big favorite. I'm not super impressed. You know, Davy Grant, who just knocked out Smolka, he knocked out Martinez later in their fight before he went on these two wins in a row. I'm just not super impressed. Morales lost, in my opinion, to, you know, better competition and guys like Benito Lopez and Chris Gutierrez, who's like an underrated fighter coming up the ring. So give me Morales, big underdog price. I think this fight should be like more of a toss up in my opinion.
All right. I don't hate that bet. I'm not on the opposite side. So
usually when you like give that smile, it makes me think that you're going like, I'm about to go the other way.
This might be the first draft. We'll see how the third round goes, but it might be the first draft that we are not on opposite sides of any fights.
And it's interesting because it is a smaller card too.
Right.
You know, there's only
one. But then again, we still got two picks to go. So let's bring up the round two graphic before we get your last pick. All underdogs so far, Reed. Four picks, four underdogs. I'm sure that's going to go well. And also very similar odds too. We both have plus 105 underdogs. And then my other one is 175 and yours is 185. So very similar board so far. Let's move on to round three, your third and final pick for UFC Vegas 55.
Again, I don't love a lot, so I'll go with another underdog, kind of hope to catch, like sell high on a fighter like we were talking about. I'll go with Sam Hughes, plus 145. She's in the first fight of the night. Again, Elise Reed, very inexperienced. Neither fighter super experienced, but Elise Reed was a plus 230 underdog in her last fight, and just now all of a sudden she's a considerable favorite. Just feels like a really big shift in competition. You know, I don't know. Just feels a little bit too high for me. Hughes, to me, has some grappling advantages. I think that, you know, despite the losses, I kind of like her. I'm not super confident in this, but I just like the price, and I think you're selling high on Reed, who got my name. But, you know, she got a big win as a big underdog. Now coming back the other way, I kind of like that.
I like that. I like that pick, Reed. We're in agreements a lot in this episode.
We're screwed.
she was on my board. She wasn't next to my board, so you didn't even take her from me. But she was on my board if I had to take her. So this is not going to go well. What happens if we both go 0-3? Is it just a draw?
I'm still the champ.
Okay. That's
I keep my reign.
A little draft strategy, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a guy who is close to a sure winner, in my opinion, and then that might be the difference maker, especially with you taking three underdogs.
It better not be Almeida at minus like 700. It better not.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I would have been more insulted.
I got more sportsmanship than that. I did not send it over the producer, so I apologize, but I'm going to go Felipe Corrales minus 185 like against Chase Hooper. Yeah. Like I said, sizable favorite, pretty big favorite. But Chase Hooper's not a fighter. I'm sorry, Chase Hooper. I hope you never come on the show because you're going to hate me because I'm going to trash you here for the next 2 minutes. He's not a fighter. Get him out of the UFC. He is a jiu-jitsu practitioner. He's very, very, very good at jiu-jitsu. Actually, probably one of the better guys in his division in jiu-jitsu. But his striking is horrible. Just horrible. But, I mean, like I said, he's a grappler, but he struggles getting guys to the ground. Only 18% takedown accuracy rate. So being good at jiu-jitsu is one thing, but you got to get guys to the ground if you want to use your jiu-jitsu, and he's not good at doing that. So this is a big-time fade of Chase Hooper, who looks like he's 14 years old, fighting Felipe Corrales. So I'll take Felipe Corrales. He's a much better striker. Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about that. This is a big fade of Chase Hooper. He does not look like a fighter. I don't know what else to say.
It was between Kolaris and Hughes for my last pick. That was who I was between. And I went with the underdog to, you know, I guess like try and boost up my potential payout. But I can believe it. Do you remember his first fight? I think it was during the pandemic events, but he was like a minus 450 favorite because he was getting like that Dana White, like everyone push that he was going to be amazing. And he was a massive favorite against Alex Caceres and just got absolutely wrecked. Like we're talking like parlay, just lighted on fire because he was like minus 450. Everyone probably put him in like all like the, you know, the three fighter parlays and stuff. Just absolutely set him on fire. So, I completely agree. I don't think Hooper is worthy of really a UFC contract. He showed nothing to
that was his second fight, and a big reason why he was a big favorite because he had a very good performance against Daniel Tamer in his first UFC fight. But Daniel Tamer, when it combined 1-4 and then got cut. So like his good performance was against a guy who like anybody could beat up in the UFC. And then he fought Alex Caceres, got destroyed. He did beat Peter Barrett, who I don't even know who Peter Barrett is. Peter Barrett's gone 1-2 and cut from the UFC too. So his two wins are against guys who are no longer in the UFC. And then he lost his last fight against Steven Peterson by decision. So
And again, You look at Kolaris, who his competition is, and Chris Gutierrez, another name that's going to pop up, really just an underrated fighter. Really, you know, great leg kicks. He's kind of running up the ranks. You know, I'm not going to say Kolaris is like some future champion or anything, but again,
right,
he is a middling UFC fighter. Chase Hooper, I would say, is a not real UFC fighter. He fights. He's good at beating garbage, and I think Kolaris is like a step up.
Legitimate actual fighter.
Yeah, like he's a step up from that. I'm not going to say he's great or anything, but yeah, I would say, like, if we're talking like betting, I would like look. This is like maybe we were just talking about Chase Hooper lighting parlays on fire, but like, I would parlay with someone, maybe get that down to even money or something. Maybe like a Park John Young against Eric Andrews. Maybe that's probably close to even money. But I guess we could recap the draft and then we could do Holly Holm preview because we both stayed away and I'm curious.
Ah, that's right. That's a good call. Let's talk about that fight. But let's just wrap the draft here. Let's bring up the recap graphic here. Five underdogs and six picks. Reed going Vienna +105, Morales +185, Hughes +145. I went Anders +175 after that clip. Pump me up. Ponzinibbio +105, and then Corrales, the only favorite on the board, -185 against Chase Hooper. Best of luck, my friend. But yeah, let's talk the main event because you're right. Both of us stayed away. I had one of the fighters on my board. Did you have either fighter on the board? Because it's a little bit tricky for the draft because it's a lopsided fight in terms of the odds.
I lean Vieira. I get Holly Holm, like former champion, all that stuff. I just like, are we sure?
Right.
She hasn't fought in what, 2 years now? A year and a half at least? Like, just a big price light. And Vieira has grappling upside. I know Holly Holm, she has like a slight reach and size advantage, but she's 40 years old, man, and she hasn't fought in so long. And Vieira, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I didn't know she was 40.
Yeah, and she's coming off a long layoff. Just like, what are we expecting? Like, if Vieira gets it to the mat, she could really take over. I think it's only going to take a few takedowns. Like, is Holly Holm going to finish this fight? Like, I know Vieira's been knocked out, but again, it's a long layoff. Holly Holm pulled out with, like, I think back-to-back knee injuries in her last two fights. I'm not rushing to lay this with Holly Holm. Like, this is one where it's dog or pass, right? Like, I'm not rushing to lay this price.
I agree. I had Vieira on my board. I didn't draft for that. I think Holm should be favored, especially because she has pretty good takedown defense. So I think Vieira might have some issues getting her to the ground. But the issue with laying this much juice on Holly Holm, a lot of people, when they think of Holly Holm, they think of her highlight knockouts. They think of her knockout against Ronda Rousey. They think of her knockout against Betch Koheya. But she's really a very boring technical fighter that's not actually going to do a whole lot during the fight.
And
she's 40 years old. So, I mean, it could be a close fight, and then it could be another Rose against Carla Esparza, where it's like, who knows what the judges are going to say.
You want to take the dog there.
Just take the dog. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She does a lot of just, you know, punching air, just a lot of feints, because she comes from a boxing background, and that's a little bit more of what boxing is like, but that's not really. I mean, if she can catch, if she gets an aggressive, like Ronda Rousey was very aggressive, she can pick her apart, but.
No, I completely agree. And, Vieira could take rounds. Like, I know Holly Holm has the takedown defense and all that, but again, if Vieira's able to land like two takedowns, maybe get a submission opportunity.
One takedown is like enough to win a round fighting against Holly Holm.
That's what I'm saying.
That's enough.
So you're looking at Holly Holm, you're laying this big price. And again, like anytime, like when I bet these fights, I'm looking like, okay, what does a win look like to me? Like, how am I going to win this fight? Like, for Holly Holm, it's like, she's going to dominate the stand-up of a woman who hasn't fought in nearly 20 months, I think it is, but closer to 24 months. Like, it's a long layoff for an older fighter who, you know, I don't know if this is just going to be a stand-up battle. I think Vieira's going to try and shoot and try and avoid getting into a stand-up battle. And listen, if she fails at that, like, at least I'm taking a shot on the plus. You know, it's not going to kill me. She's +200. Right. There's a reason. It's the same reason why I took Luis Smoke last week. Like, I think that there's upside to betting him because – you know, I don't think the other person has a 70% chance of winning this fight. I think there are avenues to success for the underdog.
Right. I agree. So we're both on the same page. This card's going to be terrible for both of us. We agree way too
much. I've had two. After a cooler, I've had two straight good cards. So I'm feeling pretty good, cautiously optimistic into a tricky card. And I think there's no card next week. Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
UFC celebrates Memorial Day as well. They're off until June 4th. So hopefully, nice little 3 weeks here. Oh, God. You are so Canadian, Memorial Day. It's a long weekend. Kind of kicks off.
Next weekend or is that this weekend?
That's next weekend is Memorial Day. Next Monday is technically the official day of Memorial Day.
Huh. We call it Victoria Day. I knew Canada had a holiday.
Is it the same? Is it the same?
It's the same weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the kickoff of summer, kind of. So UFC celebrates it also.
I knew we had it. I forget what it's called. I looked it up. We call it Victoria Day because we're still part of the monarchy, Queen Victoria.
But so, you know, hopefully I can make a little like 3 week nice little run into this little break, rare break for the UFC.
Yes, but we'll still have a show. Maybe we'll have a fighter on. Maybe we'll have Eric Anders on to rip you apart. We'll see. But we will have a show. We'll talk about something.
Yes. I mean, look at what we're talking about this episode.
I'm not aware of.
We made something out of this card. Made something out of this episode. We're at 46 minutes now.
Exactly. Speaking of which, do you have any final comments?
No, just, you know, we'll see how this card goes. If I had to guess, I'm going to end up on a lot of underdogs, maybe just Park as my one favorite and Kolaris. But, we'll see if it's an interesting card. I feel like these cards, they do generate a lot of, like, hilarious outcomes and a lot of, like, random finishes and stuff like that. So I'm always interested to watch this stuff.
Is it in Vegas?
Yeah, I think it's at the Apex.
All right. So that's our draft. That's our show. No Amy this week. I'm sure she will be back next week, and we'll probably have a guest on as well. So tune in for that. Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, as always, like and subscribe, all that good stuff. From myself, from Reed, take care, and best of luck with your picks on Saturday. Talk to you next week.